On this episode of the Sophisticated Property Investing Podcast.
Get me those deals that I see lots of other people doing or have hitherto seen them doing.
That's such a lawyer word, hitherto, James. I've got to pull you off.
Sorry, that was awful, wasn't it?
Carry on, throw in as many lawyer words as you can.
Welcome to Sophisticated Property Investing, a podcast brought to you by Ethical Property Partners, the experts in sophisticated property investment.
Welcome, James Brownsword, to the Ethical Property Partners podcast. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks very much for inviting me, Frank. Really excited to be here with you.
James, I appreciate you giving up an hour or so of your time, but I think it's so valuable for our listeners out there to hear people who have recently come onto EPP. How long have you been with us now, to give the guys a bit of a flavour?
It's just over 6 months now.
Can you tell us a bit about your career, your investment history prior to coming on 6 months ago, mate?
Well, before coming on, I lived a pretty traditional life as a professional. I was a lawyer for the best part of 30 years and did what 99% of other people do, I suppose. I've given my time for money to different employers over that period. I've been paying off my mortgage as one of my main aims. I've taken a sort of safety first approach with a nice defined benefit pension, and just gone through a very simple life, really. Albeit it's been a good job. You know, I enjoyed the job, but in terms of investment, we inherited a property and we didn't rent it out for many years, but we then used it as a buy-to-let for the best part of the last 20 years. So we've had some experience of buy-to-let. And although we've come close to investing in other properties, we haven't really done very much. Well, certainly not until I stopped work anyway. Then since I stopped work, I did invest in an HMO, where I bought a house, which I converted to an HMO. Did that on the back of seeing various property professionals, what they were doing, and trying to network with people in the property industry and learning from them and from YouTube videos and things like that. But investment, yeah, I've also invested in the stock market very poorly. It's huge luck involved in that, I think, even if you go for FTSE 100 companies. Or dot-com boom, you can throw away a fair bit of money quite quickly, I've found, on the stock exchange. So it wasn't the greatest. Apart from that, I've not really had any strong investment strategies. I've had good pensions to prop me up, or to put into, should I say. And as I say, I've come close to investing in buy-to-lets over the years, but we've never really done it. We've talked about it a lot, but not done it. Probably a lot of wasted opportunities over the years.
You say that, James, and I know we had a conversation a week or so back where I think you were being a bit hard on yourself for not taking action. But what I'd like to do on this podcast is to really drill into the positives of that 30-year career and how you're now leveraging, because last week when we sat down, we did your partnership review. So we do a 6-hour partnership planning day, and we did that together Thursday last week. And what I think came out of that, which is a massive positive, is that you've actually put in the groundwork, you've built such a solid foundation upon which you can now build your sophisticated property investment business. So I really want to start off, if I may, by drilling into what benefits do you think you've had as a new sophisticated property investor compared to, you've got adult children, haven't you? How old's your oldest?
The oldest is 22 now. I've got a 22-year-old, 19 and 13.
Excellent. So you're 22-year-old. What advantages do you have over someone who's slightly older than 22, if you've been in law for 30 years, compared to your 22-year-old? Because I think it's so often missed. You hear people stood on stage saying the job is just over broke, and it's the golden handcuffs, and you know, it's the worst thing in the world. But actually, if you look at your lifestyle to date, if you look at your foundation now upon which you can build, it's phenomenal. It's a really healthy situation. So what do you think you've built up in those 30 years? Because it's very easy to knock yourself and go, well, I inherited one, that's just by luck, you know, you haven't done a lot for that. I'm hoping you weren't involved in the inheritance.
Making it happen.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. And you've gone out and you've bought a HMO, so great, one HMO in 30 years, you can beat yourself up for that, especially when you've had such a good start to your EPP journey, and we'll come on to that in a minute. But what do you think you've gained from that 30 years, both, you know, practical and skill wise, etc.?
In terms of skills, I suppose making the move into an international conglomerate, if you like, gives you massive experiences, global experiences. I've negotiated contracts in many different countries and been around the world, I suppose, or many parts of it with work. I lived in France for 5 years, which was a fantastic cultural experience. I had a lot of big cultural experiences with the work over the particular the last 21 years. I've gained a lot of experience of other disciplines. It was multidisciplinary. I worked in-house rather than a law firm. I found the law firm is a little bit narrow, but if you type of business I was in, you're hitting all different types of workflows. Certainly as a lawyer, I was covering everything, pretty much everything the commercial world has to throw at you. You know, there's a lot of political aspects to the projects we were involved in, massive building projects on a national and international scale. So we'd be involved in Eurostar, for example, or London Underground. We'd do Crossrail, HS2 in this country, but you know, any international high-speed rail projects, things like that, we were involved in. Yeah, I suppose we've a lot of economic aspects to those. It covers many different things, and dealing with other professionals. So all that is nice experience. It's great experience. And I think the international travel is what you remember, and going to the different countries and doing things out there and meeting different cultures. But in terms of a base for me going forward, I think you're right. It set me up with a very solid financial base, because I've now, you know, I've paid off my house, and it's, you know, got a nice house here. We've got a very nice solid pension, which can kick in at any time from now, because I've got over that awful age of 55. But there's a lot more years in me left there, I've got to say that. And I can use those. I think we talked last week about leveraging my position now, using this solid base that I've got and taking advantage of what I can do with those things to help me build a portfolio of properties. I think the other thing, I've got a good understanding of how a lot of property transactions work. Being in the legal field, you know, you cut across a lot of different things. I've had a lot of experience in commercial property, for example. It's not something I'm targeting at the moment, but I do know a fair bit about it. Obviously, being a solicitor, with a strong eye for detail, which is a useful thing to have. And to just understand the regulatory and compliance aspects that we have to deal with nowadays as landlords. I'm comfortable with all that.
In preparing for this interview, James, I was looking at your history on EPP, and we track quite a lot of stats. We're always looking for why do some clients do better than other clients. And one of the things that jumped out at me was how closely you followed the system. For sure, you've been asking questions all the way along. We've had a lot of conversations, and you've been, I think you're probably the most consistent attendee on our daily support surgeries, our daily webinars. But what I've noticed is, alongside all the questions, which is just you understanding the system and making sure you've cross the T's and dotted the I's, which is really important when you're talking about, you know, large sums of money, is your ability to just knuckle down and follow the system. And we were talking last week about the fact that I think your marketing, am I right in saying you've averaged about a £2,000 a month spend on your marketing? Does that sound right, James? I'm pulling that from the dredges of my memory, but is that what you've invested?
Yeah, that's right. It was £2,000 a month. It was meant to be £3,000, wasn't it? So I haven't gone as far as I should have done, but there were reasons for that. I'm not going to hide behind them, but you know what we agreed is that I will ramp that up more certainly in the next 6 months
moving forward. Yeah, I'm going to come on to the fact that you've achieved these great results on only two-thirds of what you set out to do, but my point is you've stepped in. You're at a zero marketing spend each month, hence the one deal in 30 years, and you've stepped in with £2,000 a month and have followed the systems. And so you consistently put in a shift every day into your property business. You're consistently on the webinars. You're consistently sending in your tracking documents, etc. each week. And I just wondered where that's come from, because it is unusual. It's unusual for people to treat their property business as seriously as you've treated it. Well, why do you think you've approached it in that way, James?
Well, that's a really good question. I've got to say, one thing I didn't talk about was since stopping work. So I stopped work in 2017. I stopped traditional work in an office. And I've spent a couple of years, at least 2.5 years, of trying to find a property network or property business that makes sense and that can help me get more educated and get me those deals that I see lots of other people doing or have hitherto had seen them doing, but I didn't seem to be able to find.
That's such a lawyer word, hitherto, James. I've got to pull you up
on
that.
That was awful, wasn't it? That was pretty awful.
It makes me laugh.
Good job you can edit this.
Won't take that out, James. We'll leave that in for comedy value. Carry on. Throw in as many lawyer words as you can.
Sorry. That was truly, truly scrumptious. Yes. So I was trying to find networks. And, of course, I think massive thing, we will come on to it, but huge thing about EPP is you're looking at the person and the situation rather than the property, and that's a big step to away from what I was doing. So if I'm trying to look around for properties and Rightmove and going through all the usual systems that people use, but at the end of the day, that's not really a way to get a deal. So I went to various networks, and I'm not knocking them, that they're all generally very good, but I still didn't find that I was getting deals. So I was ready when I saw you, Frank, and some of your colleagues at the show at the NEC. Then I think I was ready at that point to join somebody who looked right and felt right. And I was really impressed with the talk you gave, and it just seemed to make sense. And then I came on that one day seminar, and very unusually for me, this shows how ready I was. I signed up by lunchtime, which is not the sort of thing I do as a lawyer. It felt impulsive, but I'm really glad I did it. It's almost like stepping across a line. Once you've made the commitment to something, then for me, I really do want to see if I can make this work well. And the first few months has been interesting to follow the process. So, within a month of starting my marketing, I had a sign up. And for me, that was so huge because, I really didn't believe that anybody would sign up to not giving away their property, but selling their property considerably below market value within 2 hours of meeting for the first time. That first deal I've got, which was it might be that I'll never beat it, I don't know, but to have signed up somebody who didn't appear to have any special reason to be selling cheap, but just wanted to do it this way and was happy with what they were going to get, and then we effectively managed to get a deal with 37% or 38% below market value, which is incredible. And he signed up, and everything went exactly to plan. It couldn't have been a better sign-up and a better process running forward.
Is that one now completed, James?
Yeah, that's what one that's completed. Mm. Completed
and so it's a real deal, isn't it? It's real when the banks valued it. Because when you say 37, 38% below, that's all well and good when I've valued it at this and the vendor said yes to this. But when a bank's actually come out and valued it, third-party independent risk valuation, and you've purchased it and there really is that discount in it, then that's phenomenal, isn't it? What did the bank value it at, and what did the vendor actually receive?
The bank values it at 145,000 and he received 90,000.
Which is not a bad going for your first deal that you signed up in your first month.
I think it's incredible,
really. And people listening to this perhaps wouldn't believe it either. I struggle to even now, but it is real, and got that property and I've got a tenant in it, and you know, it's great.
Just to elaborate on that, James, for a second, that's one that could be deemed a one-off, but do you want to just share with the guys how your 6 months has gone? So you joined 6 months ago, you started marketing, you had that deal, that's gone through. What else have you got going through the pipeline?
So the sign up for the first one was in towards the end of January. I then had a sign up in February for a flat. That one is still progressing. We had a hiccup because I was actually trying to put the mortgage application through with the first one at the same time with the same brokers and the same lawyers doing it all. And I was trying to complete it at the same time at the end of March. And I got a valuation, and the valuation stacked up. But unfortunately, the surveyor managed to see a crack in the building of the block of flats, which they wanted investigating, and that has now led on to what has been a fairly long process to try and get structural engineers from the owners of the building, which happens to be the local authority. I'm hopeful that we can still progress that through to completion. The council has looked at it, and I'm hoping that we'll get there. So at the moment, you know, we are one step, it's been a big step, but we're one step away from completing on that. That would have a tenant in it already. And again, the discount is quite reasonable on that. And then I signed another one up in March, fairly early March. So that's my third sign up. And there, and again, this is about the attitude of people to money. Lots of people have different attitudes to and approaches to their money situation. And the lady I'm dealing with there, clearly, she just wants to go abroad. She wants to leave her property as it is with everything in it and just get away. Ex-husband has got a flat in Spain and she wants to go over there. So, and she's really very, well, not at all worried as far as I can see about what she gets. If she could get away with all her debts paid off and probably nothing else, she'd be happy. Which is incredible, really. It's not the approach many people would take, but that is her approach. There we've got a very good deal. It feels like a very good deal. It will be virtually no money down on that one. And although there's quite a lot of work to do in the property, most of that is paid for as part of the deal. So there, the property is valued at 120, and I've had it valued. I've had a desktop valuation in that case from the mortgage company, and she's going to get 77. So it's about 37% below, but there is a £10,000 refurb. So in the end, I'll probably have a few transaction costs, but nothing more left there. So yeah, another great deal. So that's the third one. And then the fourth one, which I signed up last week. Been a bit of a gap between, but sort of understandable with the COVID situation we've had these last few months. But anyway, picking things up again, and got a sign up. It's a reasonable deal. It's not as good as the others in terms of the amount below market value, but it is a very good property, and it needs no work. It needs absolutely nothing doing to it. And again, there will be a tenant because the nephew of the seller is already there and is willing to continue as a tenant. And we've had a bit of a discussion and he will be okay as a tenant, as far as I can tell. So that could be a great deal because nice property with an existing tenant, no work to do, and it's nearly no money down. Again, it's just really transaction costs that it's going to have to put in. But so if I can get that over the line, if we can get these over the line, I'll be really, really happy.
Excellent. And very deserved, James, because as I say, you've put in the hard work. I've been saying one deal in 30 years, but that's a bit unfair. If you finished work in 2017, then it's one deal in 3 years, isn't it? So the HMO that you've got.
Yeah, the HMO, yeah. I mean, I spent a good year. I did try a deal that failed. I was trying to buy a student property in Chester because we have, and the property we already have is near Chester. And so I was doing a refurb on that to try and use it as a holiday home, which we did for a year or so. And while I was there, I always thought student accommodation would be a good one to get into. I think it's a lot more difficult nowadays. But so I was looking around Chester and I put in an offer which was accepted. And then the survivor had a survey done and he marked it down a fair bit and also told me that they needed a new roof and all sorts. And if I'd had the knowledge that I have now, then I might have still bought it. But I decided not to proceed with that one, so that bit the dust. But I did spend quite a few months with that. And that was the problem. I think the old system, just looking at one deal, whereas the system with EPP, you can have several deals cracking off at the same time. And that's so much better. You're going to build your portfolio so much quicker, aren't you?
And the beauty of cracking on with the marketing in the way that you have, and I'll ask you a few questions about that in a minute, James, but the beauty of that is you're negotiating with multiple vendors at the same time and you're buying from multiple vendors. So if you've signed up four in your last 6 months, you've completed on one already. Am I right in thinking you've got a completion this week, hopefully?
The second one should have completed last Friday. There's a slight hitch with the title, which is with the lawyers. A little bit frustrating, but I'm hoping we will still complete on that in the next couple of weeks.
In the next couple of weeks, cool. Isn't it funny for the shoe to be on the other foot now with you moaning about lawyers?
Absolutely.
I wonder how much more empathy you've got for past clients now.
Yeah.
Just make it happen, James.
You can feel total license to give them a rocket.
That's, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Although in this case, it's not my lawyer; it's the vendor's lawyer, so it's a bit more difficult.
Yeah. And so, you've come through your career. You've left your job 3 years or so ago, 2017. You've got a decent pot of savings. Your bills are covered. You've all but paid off your mortgage. Your ability to get mortgages, so your credit score and your credit, your attractiveness to mortgage lenders is really good. So it really couldn't be much better. What changed for you? So obviously you came on EPP 6 months ago. You've gone from one deal in 3 years to four sign-ups in 6 months, one completion, another completion hopefully in the next couple of weeks, two more going through. That's a marked change. And the difference, I guess, is I'm guessing you didn't buy your HMO 30% below. I'm guessing that was closer to market.
No, I didn't, but I did do the buy refurb and refinance sort of deal, which worked in a way. I mean, I've left in comparison to what we tried to do on EPP, it's not particularly good, although I thought of it as a good deal. I think I left about £60,000, so it's quite a lot.
And what's it net profit for you a year if it's operating normally?
Well, it is netting about 21, 22, well, no, sorry, might be even more than that, at least 22,000 a year.
So that's a 30% return, isn't it? Which isn't bad.
Yeah, exactly. So for me,
I mean, when you compare to
any other investment I could do. It's still great. It's still great, but just not as good as we like to achieve on EPP.
Absolutely. It's better than your 0.1% in the bank, which... but it's interesting, James, and I know we talked about this last week. It's very easy when you've seen over the fence and you've seen what's possible with sophisticated property investing to then knock yourself and think, oh, why didn't I do more of these? The example you used last week was, if only I'd got into Manchester in the 90s, yeah, when my wife and I started talking about buy-to-let, you know, if only we'd bitten the bullet and just done a few, they'd be worth four times, five times as much now. We can always do that. But the other side of that is you've bought yourself a property that you're going to have all your money back out of in 3 years. That's awesome. And you've bitten the bullet and you've bought into EPP and you're now doing even better deals than you thought were possible, and you're looking down on that deal that's getting you a 30% return in most people's books. You know, you leave 60 in and you're making 22 grand a year. That's phenomenal. So I think credit where credit's due. I think two things that people will be interested in, James, that I'd love you to talk about a little bit. One is, so how are you finding these deals? I think that'd be good. And secondly, why are these people, you've touched on it a little bit, but why are these four people selling to you below market value? I think you're a very logical guy. That's why you're a lawyer. Am I right in saying your wife's a lawyer as well? A family of lawyers? Yes. So there's a lot of logic going on in that family, a lot of sensibleness, a lot of thinking things through. From a logic perspective, why, and you've almost said exactly these words, why would someone sell at 25, 30, 35% below market value? So I'd love to know that, James. How have you gone about finding these people? I've talked about £2,000 a month investment, but what's that get you? And then just a little bit, without breaking confidentiality, the stories of these four people, because you must be giving them massive value for them to be selling that far below market value. Would you mind expanding on that, James?
I think following a tried and tested system is what has really helped me enormously. So following the system that EPP has. So in terms of trying to find vendors, I've been doing leaflets and newspaper advertisements. So I've been dropping 20,000 leaflets every 6 weeks or so far. That's basically what I've done. And I've done newspaper adverts on six-week session. So I'm getting calls through that through those systems, on average, maybe a dozen calls a month. So once I've done telephone fact find with the seller, till recently I'd only had the three help visits. As soon as I went to see somebody, they signed up, which was great. I've now found more recently that I've had help visits cancelled on me before going, and others where they're sort of thinking about it. So,
can I just ask a few quick questions that I think the listeners might be thinking to themselves, James, before you move on to that? Would that be okay?
Yep.
So the first one is, that sounds so expensive. £2,000 a month on marketing, so that's leaflets and newspaper, and you're getting 12 calls a month. Like, so I can see people's heads whirring at that, going, oh my goodness, that's how much a phone call? My maths is going to fail me, but that's like, what, £180 a phone call or something crazy? And so what is your, and it is, and so you don't want to stuff up that phone call, you don't want to miss that call, do you? So,
yeah. Very good point, actually, yeah.
Yeah, so... and that's why we do so much training on how to do those TFFs. That's why we have a 24/7 person answering your calls for you. So you never do miss. They don't catch you just as you're putting the kids to bed or just as you're getting in the bath or whatever. But my, what's that splashing in the background? Yeah, don't mind me. Yeah.
It's worth explaining that, isn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. So you seem quite happy with that. Why are you quite happy with that?
I've still got enough help visits to make this viable. Largely because the deals have been so good. So as I said, two of those deals are 37% below. The other one isn't far off that either. So the three sign-ups I've got.
What is it actually costing you, James, per signed deal? What's it costing you at the moment? If you've signed four deals, what's your total marketing spend?
Right, that's a good question.
That's put you on the spot.
You're going to throw that one at me. We did note this down, though, didn't we, the other day? I spent the best part of 12,000, haven't I? So at the moment, with the three signups, it was about 4,000 each. Now with four signups, it's roughly 3,000 each.
So £3,000 to acquire the deal. And what's the average discount? Now, I appreciate you haven't had them all valued by the bank, but your valuation seems spot on, or the ones that you have. So what level of equity are you, or what level of discount are you getting in each of these properties?
Two are around 37%. What the latest one is 25%. And the other one is probably about 30%. So
37% times 2, 30% times 1, and 25% times 1. And what kind of value property are these? I'm trying to get a bit of an ROI going, James. That's what I'm trying to work out.
Yeah. Well, I said the first, if you run through all four, the first one, the value was 145, the vendor got 90. Second one, the flat, the value is 80,000 and the vendor is going to get 50, but we've taken into account that there's some roof repairs, so the service charge is going to be swallow at least £6,000, so we've taken that into account. The third one, the property is valued at 120, she's getting 77. Then the fourth one, it's valuing at 142. And the vendor is going to get 106,500, which is exactly 75%. So it's a 25% below.
God, that's looking good, James, in just 6 months.
You're talking the best part of 1,000. Best part of 1,000.
And the irony is, or the amazing thing on that is, that's a third of your marketing spend each month. So if you carry on like this, in 18 months' time, you'll never have to invest anything and you'll be building a portfolio at a rate of a property every 6 weeks. That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
When you look at it like that, with the equity, it's a no-brainer.
My maths are wrong, actually, just now. I said £3,000 a month, it would take you 18 months, but actually it's £2,000 a month you have been putting in, which is, you're halfway there, aren't you? You're halfway to having this portfolio grow itself. So in another 6 months' time, potentially, you could be there with it growing itself, which is phenomenal.
I'm sticking to the standard, if I can call it, it's not really standard, but it's the main VNV strategy. But if I can develop and get TDIC deals, I bring in investors and do a couple of deals like that a year as well, that then I'd be get the best of all worlds, because that would give me more cash flow without perhaps needing to sell property.
I think that's a good point you make, James, because you've actually started on really basic strategies for EPP, haven't you? Like, people are probably listening thinking that's pretty impressive, but actually they are, you said standard, they are our basic strategies. And now that you're mastering these, you are starting already to look at, can I add this layer of icing onto it? Can I add this strategy in, which will then raise? Because those aren't high monetization, are they? £300 a property is pretty bog standard. But if you start raising the cash flow on those, or start raising the complexity of the deals, then absolutely you could really start to cash in, which is brilliant. Before we wrap up, James, I'd just like, so we've talked about the fact that you're doing newspaper advertising, doing leafleting, we've talked about your financial investment. Oh, I'll tell you one question we haven't covered is the time investment. How much time have you invested in this as an average weekly amount for those 6 months?
I'd say I'm doing 25 to 30 hours a week, maybe. It can vary between 20 and 30, I think, once I've got the flow, if you like, of this under my belt, then it's easier, and you can start looking at other things. But obviously, as you get deals in, the complexity goes up in a way, because you've got more, you've got extra companies to manage and more properties to manage. Obviously, at the moment, I'm self-managing everything. So that's, I think, once I reach a critical mass, I will need to start looking at bringing in VAs or somebody else, just agents, to help me manage the properties, and then free up my time to do the deals. I think that's going to be a big part of it. Should be towards the end of my next 12 months, I will be looking to
bring in some sort of assistance to help grow the portfolio much more quickly. But for now, I'm okay managing it. And that's another thing which is great about the EPP franchise, the educational systems that are brought to you. And I do like the fact very much that EPP improves itself using this Kaizen theory, continuous improvement. It's great to bring all those things. In fact, it's very interesting that we've got so many educational concepts on this in this franchise, which people try to use in the office and in the corporate world, usually not terribly effectively, certainly not in the big companies I've worked in, but it's good to see it in operation here.
It sometimes surprises a few people, I think, when they come and they go, I just want to know how to buy houses. Be quiet with all the fluffy stuff, right? Just tell me what I need to do.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it's actually not the sheets of paper you need to learn. It's how to talk to people. And it was actually two things that just jumped out at me, James, because the focus of this interview, I wanted it to be about what you've learned in corporate that has enabled you to hit the ground running. And two things that have jumped out at me was when you were talking about time management, you mentioned last week that you're chairman of your tennis club and stuff. And so clearly a leader of people and respected in your community. And I thought to myself, there's many things actually that you've come into EPP with. There's the people skills. The first thing was people skills, and the second one was credibility, and I'm about to use it. So it takes some credibility and some confidence to walk into someone's front room, as you say, and two hours later leave buying their house for 90k when it's having told them it's worth 145. That's the thing. It's not like we're pulling wool over people's eyes. We're saying your house is worth 145, and we're
going to sell it.
We're going to give it. Going to give you 90 for it. Yeah, using that first one exactly.
Know. Well, last week's sign-up was a classic. It really was.
Tell us just about one or two, James, if you don't mind. Just tell us about last week. If you like the so that was 142, and you the vendors receiving 106,500.
That was a tough one, really, because I was hoping to buy this property from a businessman. Really, really nice guy. He originally told me he wanted to sell the property just to put into his pension pot. But it came out in the discussion, very late in our discussion, he was selling it to fund a litigation he's got going. So won't go into the detail of that, but he looked at things with a fine... Yeah, he did look at things very, very closely. He initially wanted to use his own lawyers. He wanted to get the paperwork checked over by his lawyers, all that sort of stuff. I had to do a lot of sales in during the course of that 2 hours. Brought his wife in, and you know, we talked about all sorts of things around why we're doing the deal the way we do. Another person who was worried about capital gains tax possibly hitting him if he had to take into account a higher amount, and I was able to explain that because, again, this is the value of doing lots of help visits and seeing the issues that people bring up and then having the answers ready. So I was able to answer his queries, and we managed to get to a sign-up okay. And I'm just hoping we can push that one through. But the others generally have been relatively straightforward. I took a buddy with me on my very first one, which was sensible, and it was great that we did. But the sign-up was relatively straightforward on the first one. There weren't really any tricky questions, and there was no further negotiation required. But with the second one, the flat, interesting situation. There's a man who would like to go abroad and live with his daughter. His wife had died about 3 years ago. He's reaching his late 70s, and he had bought this flat for his stepson, who he doesn't get on with at all. But he just wanted to leave his stepson there, but he wanted to get the money out. But he realised, because he had been on the market for well over 6 months, he realised that it was very difficult to sell a flat without vacant possession. It's a good flat. It's a good flat, and it's in a good area. So for me, it could still work. It could still work fine. And again, get on very well with the owner. I seem to be getting on very well.
with all the people I've signed up. So with both hands on wood, touch wood, because you never know, one might fall over. But
we know that they do fall over because we're dealing with people, you know. So if you do another four and one doesn't fall over, then that would be surprising, you know. But the long and short of it is you're
getting mindset. We haven't really talked about mindset, but I think my mindset has shifted quite a long way, really. I have more belief and more positivity that these things could be done. You know, when I first started, as you No, Frank, you know, I didn't really believe that a sign-up was even possible.
I remember how painful it was, James, to try and persuade you that just follow the system. It really does work. You know, we're not all lying. We're not all pretending.
Yeah.
But it is. It's so far removed from a normal mindset, isn't it? You know, a normal retail investor's perspective of, well, the agent's asking 200, so I'll offer 190, you know, down to... it's worth 145, so I'm going to buy it for 90. That is just so far removed, isn't it? Yeah.
It's amazing. But I think being surrounded by people of like mind, people who are trying to do the same thing and believe in the system, and positive people who are going to take action, I think that's really, really important. So having the daily support that we have is critical. It really is. What did I note down? Yeah, I think the three things that have really made the difference, I did note down, I think having a tried and tested system to follow, that's key. Concentrating on the vendor's situation rather than the property is turning things upside down, really, in comparison to what most investors attempt to do. That continuous support and having like-minded people around you is so important, because property can be a very lonely world, as I discovered before I joined this partnership. And you know, it's not easy trying to plow your own furrow.
Absolutely slow going. That's fascinating that you've put that third one in, daily support webinars, because did they start after you joined, or were they already in existence? Because they're a very recent addition. You talk about Kaizen, but they're very recent. Had they already started?
Yeah. I think they probably started during my membership. They must have done.
So you started off your journey without the daily support webinars, and then we've introduced them since. So yeah, there's an example of something that we've incorporated as an approach to continuous improvement. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
James, you deserve all of your success, sir. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your experiences. If it persuades one skeptic out there that they can do this, or if it inspires one person who's currently in corporate to, you know, get rid of the job and take it upon themselves to build themselves a portfolio, then fantastic. Really appreciate your abundance, mate, and long may your success continue. Thanks ever so much, James.
Right, thanks a lot. It's a pleasure coming on. Thanks a lot, Frank.
Sophisticated Property Investing, a podcast brought to you by Ethical Property Partners, the experts in sophisticated property investment.